This Maimer was delivered by the Rebbe on Shabbos Parsha Shoftim. The year was Tavshin Tezayin, 1956. So this is an early one. Shoftim v'shoytrim titein lecha b'chol sha'arecha. The Torah portion opens with the words, judges and sheriffs you shall place in all of your gates. U'mevur b'drushi chassidus. It's explained in the writings and teachings and ruminations of chassidus. Ma'ashakosov b'chol sha'arecha, that the meaning of the notion that we should have judges and sheriffs, meaning a judicial system and law enforcement which is attached to it. So there's somebody who rules, who says these are the laws, these are the things you have to do. And then there's somebody who makes sure that people follow the laws and follow the things you have to do, that it has to be placed emphasis on b'chol sha'arecha, in all of your gates. It doesn't say b'chol irecha, it doesn't say in all of your cities, it doesn't say in all of your provinces. It emphasizes in all of your gates. Why all the gates? What is the deeper message here? So in Chassidus, it links this to the pasuk Neida b'Shiyarim Baila, a famous pasuk from the book of Mishlei, from Eshes Chayil, and it says literally, her husband is known at the gates. Okay, so we draw some kind of juxtaposition between the judges and sheriffs, and between the idea of known at the gates. What does this mean? V'inyan b'zehu. The thing is like this: the hinei mashakos of Neida b'Shiyarim Baila. On a deeper level, when we say that her husband is known by the gates, Baila koi al eshes chayil. So Baila refers to, we're referring here to the whole eshes chayil story. And the eshes chayil story, on a deeper level, is a metaphor. And in the metaphor, it's talking about Knesset Yisrael. So her husband, who is the she? When it's talking about her husband, who is the her?
Israel.
Her is Israel, Knesset Yisrael. So Knesset Yisrael, him came Baila, who is the metaphoric husband here? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be. K'mishah Kosov, like it says in the Pasuk, and this is found in the Haftarah of the Sheva de Nechemta. Ki bo'alayich esayich Hashem tzvoi shmei. Literally it means your Creator has made you. But it has a deeper meaning, and especially the Pasuk is in Yeshayo. It's one of the prophecies of Isaiah, but especially if you look in Shemais Rabba, it says that in the time of the giving of the Torah, it was what's called Ederson, betrothal, and Liyamais HaMashiach, Yonisuyin. In the time of Mashiach, it will be marriage, it will be matrimony. How do we know this? And the Pasuk in Shemais Rabba quotes the Pasuk from Yeshayo here. It says, Ki bo'alayich esayich. So without going into the details of how exactly it refers or means husband, it clearly invokes the imagery of husband insofar as God is concerned. Ekamayim ben Azal, this goes along the lines of what says in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on page 22, Ein isha kereses bris, elamisha sar kli, that the idea of marriage is that the woman makes herself, so to speak, a vessel, a utensil for the husband who commits himself, which in a normal world, certain behavior was only experienced under the aegis of marriage, and it meant commitment. Today, everything has changed. I mean, not everything, but a lot of things have changed for a lot of people in a lot of strange ways. But from a Torah perspective, that's the way it is. Shenemar ki b'alayich esayich. So once again, b'alayich esayich, which means your Creator has made you, is referring not only to your Creator, but it's referring to the concept of matrimony, the concept of marriage. So we need nisuyin. So before we go back to Noida B'Sha'arim Baila, with regard to this business of Nisuyin, or with regard to this business of knowing her husband, forget how it relates to Shoftim V'Shoytrim, there's a question that's posed in the Zohar. The Zohar says, Eich Efshalies Noida B'Sha'arim Baila. How is it possible to know, so to speak, the husband? How is it possible for Israel or Neshamas Yisrael to know the husband? After all, Haloi Ein Seif Baruch Hu Hu Ne'elam B'Tachlas Ahelam. God is entirely concealed. The Ein Mi Shiasigu. It is impossible for anybody to grasp God. So, if it's impossible for anybody to grasp God, what do we mean when we say Noida B'Sha'arim Baila? You can know how a wife knows her husband and a husband knows her wife. It does not make sense to say that we know God. We know God in an intimate way. We have a knowledge of God. Does mean we have no knowledge of God? That's an impossibility. The very fact that God is infinite, that we are finite, already belies the intractability of knowing God. We're not capable of knowing such a thing. It's in totally different realm. It's a moot start. The whole thing doesn't begin. Umavur b'zoyar. The Zoyar gives us basically two responses, or two perspectives on how we could try to understand the idea of noida b'shar and b'ayla, that you know her husband is known, or being known, the idea of known is connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is unknowable. Tiritza Aleph, the first answer. Sha'apidosh noida b'shayarim, that the meaning of being known at the gates, the ihu is yadav is dabak, that we know or cleave to God. Listen carefully. What is in what way? Lufum madimishair belibay, in the way that we can imagine it to be. Mishair belibay literally means as you might conjecture or suppose in your heart. So in other words, or as you measure in your heart. That is to say, that kol chad kama diyochel izdabka berucha dechochmasa, each and every one, as he or she is able to cleave to God in a spirit of wisdom, which obviously when we talk about wisdom, whose wisdom are we talking about? Not God's wisdom, our wisdom. So how much can you understand? As much as you can understand. Does it mean you understand the essence? Does it mean you plumb the depths? No, it means I understand, as I understand. And that is of value, kimuva b'tanya, like it says in Tanya. V'hainu, that is to say then, the meaning of noida b'sha'arim, according to this approach of the Zohar, is milashan hasha'ara. The word sha'arim doesn't mean gates as much as it means supposition. I suppose it to be. So we suppose it to be so. Whatever we're understanding. So your understanding, that's the full depth? No, that's what I suppose it to be. That's what I imagine it to be. That's how I understand it. That's the way that I'm able to grasp it. She'ein zu yidia amitis. It doesn't mean really that you really know it. This is what we call the idea of hashara bilvad. It's an estimation. So you know exactly what, I don't know exactly what this means. It means something like this. Something along the lines of this, and maybe I can invoke metaphor or euphemism to say, well, it means something. I don't not know what I'm talking about. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but I don't not know what I'm talking about either. What you call like an educated guess. Sounds somewhat intelligent. I can discuss this intelligently. Doesn't mean do I know what it is exactly? Not really. And this is also known, b'chlolos, generally speaking, this is the concept of yedias hametzias, what talks about in the writings of Chassidus and the Chakira, the knowledge of the reality, but not the hasogas hamos, not understanding the reality. I could be aware of the reality, I can't understand the reality. So if you talk to me about the worlds of Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya, the four worlds that Hashem, so to speak, creates or engenders and brings into existence, I can talk about this intelligently. I'm not clueless. Do I really know what Atzilus is? Does anybody else know what Atzilus is? Does anybody know really what Bria is? You know, Ruchnias is? Many years ago when Fagin and I were just married, so we lived in Detroit, and we had no children, unencumbered, whatever, and I made friends in many different communities. So we once got invited Friday night to a local younger man. He wasn't much older than me, a few years older than me. He was learning in the Kotel over there, but very not Hasidic. And she had been a Baal Tshuva of Chabad. She had a connection to Hasidus. They wanted very much to have a relationship with us. Anyway, so he tells me Friday night, tells me, I use the Vilna Gaon Siddur, he says, for Kiddush Friday night. I feel very spiritual. I use the Vilna Gaon Siddur. He says, I can't understand one word it says over here. It's all Kabbalah. It's impossible to understand anything. But I just feel good that I'm using the Vilna Gaon Siddur. So I said, can I see the Siddur? He hands me the Siddur. I'm like, this is not that hard to understand, you know. Everything here makes perfect sense. It says, the weekday is Zoh, Shabbos is Malchus. I mean, it's all terminology that I was familiar with. And he says, you understand it? I'm like, it's not such a big deal. I mean, if you learn a little chassid, this is like basic. It's not a... He was like blown away. But the truth is, what do you mean, do I understand it? Do I know what Atzilus is? Does any of us know what Bria is, Yetzirah? I don't know. I don't know what these malachim worlds are. I could talk about it intelligently. I give classes about it. I know what I'm talking about. But it's Yedias Hametzias. I could talk about it. I cannot say I know it. Like you know the food you eat, like you know the person whose hand you shake, like I don't know it like I know this table. I know of it. So this idea of Neidah B'Sha'ar and Baila, so the question will be, do you understand when you talk about the spiritual world? I understand, according to my limited frame of understanding, I understand. How much do you really understand? How deep do you really understand? It doesn't mean it's not an understanding. You learn Parsha with children in nursery school, And the children are learning Parsha. What's Parsha? They would learn Parsha's Lech Lecha. There was a man whose name was Avraham, and he had a wife named Sarah, and God came and he said, you should go from your house. And then, you know, you get older and you learn it with Rashi. Then you get a little older and you start learning it with Ramban and Sepharno and Kliyakar and Erechayim. And you get older and you keep learning. And every year I learn the Parsha again. And every year I say, wow, I was so stupid last year. I didn't understand one word I was saying. Now I understand so much better. And this is the story of life. And probably in all likelihood, from what I understand, it shall continue, hopefully. God gives us years, you know. Like the more you, every year you learn the Parsha, every year you say, wow, I never noticed that, I never understood that. So take a person who's learning the Chumash, learning the weekly Parsha in depth, assiduously, for hours a week. He's 90 years old. And take a child, and the child is 3 years old. And the child, the elder Zaidi says to the child, tell me, he says, Yankila, what are you learning? Parsha's Lech Lecha. Says, you understand what you're doing? Sure, I understand. What do you understand? There was Avraham, there was Sarah, there was Lech Lecha. Could you say it's not understanding it? Could you compare the understanding of the nursery child to the person who's in his 90s? Also not. But that doesn't mean the child doesn't understand anything. He's a good child, he listened, didn't play games, didn't look at the window, but the teacher said he grasped, and yeah, he knows something. So that's by the Mishar Beliveh. Everybody, what they can conjecture up. That's Noida Bashar Baila. We know God. What was the question? How can anybody know God? Say, you know God according to what you could know.
That's the kli.
The kli here, you don't confuse the keli. The metaphor with the kli was about the idea of neida b'shar and baila is referring to a husband. But let's not go into that. But the point here is, and the emphasis on sha'arim neida and sha'arim knowing, and sha'arim knowing at the gates. So knowing at the gates is a metaphor. What does it mean to know at the gates? On one level of the Zohar means to have the Madad Mishar believe it, an approximate knowledge and a general awareness without knowing into the nitty gritty of details.
Can you call it a perception?
You could call it a perception. Yeah. And perception is reality. And my reality, your reality, I understand something. But Tiritz HaBeis, the second explanation, the second response to the Zohar is Shapirish de Sha'arim, Humaloshan Shi'ur. V'koyma. Sha'arim doesn't mean only gate, but sha'arim also means measure. Measure or system, gestalt. V'koy ala eser sfiris. This refers to what we call the 10 sfiris, which the 10 sfiris we know are b'shiur, are in an amount, and a midah, there's a number. It's measured. It's exactly so. As the expression goes in Sefer Yetzirah, purportedly authored by Avraham Avinu, eser v'lo teisha. There's exactly 10 sfiris, not 9 sfiris. Eser v'le achad aser. There's 10, but there's not 11. So it's exact. It's measured. The kevon shagili al yadim hum medidav hagbala. God is infinite, but the spheres can't be infinite. The spheres are necessarily 10. And we emphasize that the spheres are necessarily 10. We emphasize that the idea of midos is connected to midah. Midah means a measurement of a finite frame. It fits within here, not there. So that means that God expresses himself through the concept of Medida V'Agbala. God expresses himself within the framework of a limited reality. V'lachein, al yodam, dafka al yodam, efshel lahasik b'yizbarach, I can grasp God. How? Ayideh ha-mesholem, by virtue of the various parables and metaphors that are employed in Eser Keches HaNefesh. U'kameh shekosov, like it famously says in the book of Job, mi b'sori echza eleka, how can I see God from my own flesh? Which we understand does not mean flesh, because God doesn't have flesh, but nonetheless we understand what God means from this human psyche, from the gestalt of the human personality, that there's components, intellectual components, and emotional components, and functional components, the Eser Sfiris. So the Eser Sfiris become a working system for us to be able to have an understanding, grasp, appreciation, or intellectual knowledge of God. So it doesn't say, it says Echze is the interpretation of seeing. I'm sorry, Echze. Chizayon is a dream, it means to see. It means ri'iya, not hashara. Hashara means, I don't know, I think maybe it's something like this. It's an estimation. I don't see it clearly. I'm estimating, I'm guesstimating. I'm giving, it's a perception. Perception is not sight. Seeing is clear. Like people foolishly say seeing is believing, which makes no sense. But the point they want to make ultimately is, when you see it, then it's clear. People say, you see what I'm talking about? So that see, that knowledge, it means you have a perfect knowledge, a proper knowledge. In other words, according to the first interpretation of the Zohar, we don't understand divinity. What we understand is our perception, our guesstimation of reality, our awareness. But according to the second interpretation, we do have clarity. We do see with clarity. But that refers to a specific level of divinity, the level of divinity in the Sefiris, as, in other words, as God is, if you will, framed within the possibility of understanding. And then, of course, so that means that there's a level of divinity we can see with clarity, and that's the idea of Esses Sefiris, and then there's a level of divinity we can't see with clarity. And the way we understand that is Hasha'ara, with perception, with what we perceive to be, what we think might be, but we don't have clarity in. And these are actually not a contradiction of Zohar. Zohar is talking about two different levels within divinity. So let's give a quick recap here. Basically, we said that Shoftim v'Shoytrim, this placing of judges and sheriffs, has to be in the gates, right? It has to be B'chol Sha'arecha. And we said that this idea of B'chol Sha'arecha and all the gates is linked to the concept of Neida B'Sha'arim Baila, which is from Ish Hischayel, with the idea of knowing. Now, literally, it means her husband is known, not known by her, but is known. And actually, here, the way we're explaining it is that she knows her husband. Okay, it's not exactly literal. But the general concept, as we're explaining it here, is the notion that there's a relationship between God and the Jewish people, which is framed by understanding, which is couched in understanding. And we talked about how that's possible. And how the word Basha'arim actually bespeaks the kind of intellectual grasp that we have of divinity. Two ways of understanding Basha'arim.
Ubir Inyan.
Okay, this is going to be very Kabbalistic. Fasten your seatbelt. Kiyidua, it's known that there is Nun Share Bina. There are 50 gates of Bina. Shezeo Mashakosov, this is really the meaning of talking about gates, what it says, Bechol Sha'arecha. That the word kol is the gematria of nun. Chof is 20, lamed is 30. 20 and 30 is 50. Nun is 50. You don't include the eis beis because the eis beis is meisius hashimush. The eis beis is modifying the word kol. Bechol sha'arecha. But kol sha'arecha, all of her gates, what's all of the gates? All of the gates are 50. So this refers then to nun share bina, to the 50 gates of what we call understanding. What does that mean, 50 gates of understanding? Ve'inyonam, the idea of these gates, hu k'mei shar ha'niftach lotzes be'lechutz, it's like a gateway to go outside. V'hainu, what does that mean? So most people tend to think of nun share bina as gates you enter. Understanding that you reach, you come into the gate and understand it. The Rebbe here talks about the concept of the gateways being a gateway to outside. Something's going out. This is what he says. Sha'ira asaga sha'bemayach yoytze v'nitfas b'leiv. The nun sharebina represent the gateway through which intellectuality is able to enter the realm of emotion. It's able to seed or to impregnate emotion. It's able to reach the emotions. Shahalev Mishair Umasigis Hisbonanus, that a person in English suffers what he understands. He experiences what he understands. An experience is an emotional thing. You have a happy experience or a sad experience, dynamic experience, a morose experience, an experience that was putting off, an experience that was drawing in. These are all emotional things. If a person is studying, it's not an experience. Is it a good experience or a bad experience? I don't have an experience. I understood. Before I didn't understand, now I do understand. But you know, invariably, when people didn't understand something, and they very badly want to understand something, and then they finally do understand something, how do they feel? Exhilarated, excited. Because there is an experiential reality that's attached to an intellectual journey. And this is because there is a relationship between the intellect and between the emotions. As human beings, we're always operating on two different levels, two platforms, an emotional platform, an intellectual platform. And that which we understand gets, so to speak, filtered through our mind, and then it gets experienced. And then it becomes, we experience it on an emotional level. So that is to say that which is what we call light, the Oira Asaga, the light of understanding, which like people like say, I see the light, now I know what you mean. For that to filter into the heart, there are 50 gates through which this can happen. In order for the mind to be able to communicate with, in order for the mind to be able to influence, in order for the mind to be able to transform the emotions, there also has to be tchilas halos hamidas alamechen. Then the emotions have to become refined. The emotions have to become mature. When the emotions are refined and mature and elevated, then the emotions can be recipients of this new understanding. Then it can become an experience. And what is that? Zeu Masher Kosov. This is what it says in the book of Tehillim. It's in the Ashrei. Einei koil elecha yisaberu. All eyes are raised to you in hope. So kol is again gematria 50. This is again the 50 gates of understanding. So actually this is a two-way gate. It's a gateway. There's things that go out to this gate and there's things that come into this gate. What comes into the gate? The emotions come into the gate. What goes out to this gate? The understanding, the grasp, intellectual experience, intellectual reality goes out of this gate. This is the gateway. This is the gateway where heart and mind meet, if you will. And that's why both say kol. Shal yodam nasa halos hamidas alamechen. And once there's halos hamidas alamechen, once a person's emotions become more mature, which is by definition not a question of intellectuality, but at the same time entirely created by intellectuality. How do people become more mature? Their minds grow. They understand things differently. When you understand things differently, you have a mature understanding of things. If you have a mature understanding of things, maturity necessarily translates into the realm of emotion. So this concept of maturity, which is both an intellectual concept and an emotional concept, it operates through the gateways. There's 50 gateways. The Rebbe Rashab had a famous meeting with Sigmund Freud, and he was feeling certain lows at a time. And Sigmund Freud said to the Friedrich Rebbe, he said that a Biner grasps things which cannot be suffered. His heart and mind are not together. His understanding of godliness and Torah is so vast that it can't communicate with the heart. The heart can't stand what the mind can grasp. And therefore he's experiencing what we call an inner dissonance. And Freud actually gave advice as to how he could bridge the gap, what would change the dissonance. He said that if he would be surrounded by the students of the yeshiva who would be learning the maimarim that he taught, and he would see the way he's influencing them and the way that they're elevated by it, that this would give him a certain sense of emotional satisfaction that would make up for the fact that the mind understood more than the heart could suffer. It's a very deep thing. It's in the we found it in the Rebbe's notes in the Rishimis. This whole discussion about it. It's like an unbelievable thing. It's like a window into the psyche of a Rebbe. And like, you have this like a neshama of Atzilus that could understand Atzilus, but the human heart is still a human heart. The heart's the heart. And the brain is a brain. And like, somehow they're not meeting. Right? So this is the idea of Nun Sharebina. That's what it says about Moshe Rabbeinu, that he could understand everything, means he could experience everything up till the 50th gate. He couldn't get to the 50th gate because a human being is still a human being. Until the last day of Moshe's life, it says that he went out to Har Nevo. So the Arizal says Har Nevo means Nun Bo. Nevo is Nun Bo. Then on the last day of Moshe Rabbeinu's life, last hour of his life, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to jump, experience the 50th. It's not a quest just of a cerebral thing, understanding. It's experiencing it. No, mashikos of neide b'sha'arim b'aylo. So this what says neide b'sha'arim b'aylo. I know that is to say then shenim shach benun sharibina b'chinas nailos yeser. That our relationship with God, which comes through the mind and filters into the heart, it becomes an experience, and it happens through these 50 gates. We're talking about a very lofty reality. The hine. Just like there are 50 gates of wisdom, of understanding, pardon me. There are also 32 pathways of wisdom. What's the difference between the 50 gateways and the 32 pathways? One is of understanding of bina, one is of chachma, of wisdom. What's the difference? Here's the difference, my friends. Nun sha'arei bina, the 50 gateways, inyanam hu lechaber hamoichin hamidus. The purpose of the gateway is to bridge or unite or connect heart and mind. Lamed Beis Nesivis Chochma, the 32 pathways of wisdom, conversely, in Yonim Hu Lechaber Chochma Obina. Those pathways, neuronic pathways, if you will, serve the purpose of bridging intellectual creativity, the aha moment, with a full-blooded analysis and understanding, which is very different in nature. And this is what we call, to bridge them fully is, lihiyes nekuda behechala. So it seems that the terminology nekuda behechala, which literally translates as the central point or central fulcrum in an entire structure, is this idea in Hasidus that you get an aha moment, you take the aha moment and you develop this idea, and you develop it and develop it, and you can write a book about it. And then when you're finished developing it, you're finished experiencing it, and you have it a full understanding, because you analyzed everything carefully, and you compartmentalized, and you categorized, and when you finish understanding all this, what's very important to do?
Act on.
Well, acting, that's a level of acting, but intellectually, what then needs to follow? So chachma seeds bina, the aha moment, the grasping that I got an idea, and then I develop and develop, and then I have to bring it back to a basic idea, bring it back to a nekuda. So I took a nekuda, developed it, unfurled it, and then if I'm going to be really intelligent, I have to say, okay, now let me summarize. Let me put it back into a pithy saying. Okay, so basically, the person could say, threw something at him. He said, what? Let me see. I think I know what you're saying. And then you discuss it for an hour. So, now I understand what you meant to say. So basically, what you're saying is, and you throw back a one-liner. You start out with a one-liner, you conclude with a one-liner, and the middle with many, many lines in between. This is called taking the wisdom, the chachma, developing it appropriately through bina, and then when you finish developing it, to really grasp and understand it is to be able to put it back synoptically into
uncompress
and decompress.
It's the 50 that starts, and the 32 is the pathway. How does that end?
The 50 gates are how the mind communicates with the heart, and how the heart communicates with the mind. That's taking ideas from an intellectual plane and bringing it from the cerebral reality into the emotional reality, which is impetuous and seething and passionate and fervor-filled. But there's another highway that has to be traveled in the human psyche, and that is being able to connect chachma and bina. A person might be struck with an idea, and he might lose the idea in a moment as well. The same way the idea came, boom, the idea is gone. So what I need to do is connect the idea. And connect the idea means I need to have the powers of analysis. But the real powers of analysis are fully exhausted when I'm finished analyzing and I can return it back to a basic point. And in order for that to happen, the neuronic pathways that are traveled between Chochmah and Bina, number 32. And that's the meaning of Lamed Beis Nesivis Chochmah. Lamed Beis Nesivis Chochmah, their inyan is Lechaber Chochmah and Bina, that there should be Nekud Beichola.
So you're saying this comes after?
Actually, it comes before.
That's what I was
going to
say.
It's in the Maimer, it's coming after.
First.
Yes, correct. The Inyan Zeh, well, Derech Masha is Boy Leil Bachilik Shabin Ratzna, Yon Ratzna Tachtein. There's two levels of Ratzin. What's Ratzin? Ratzin is when you want something very badly. You really want it. So there's a loftier, higher wanting and a lower wanting. Ratzin Atachtein. The lower wanting, who Ratzin Shanoila Da Yedei Asechel. You want it? Yeah, I want it. Why do you want it? Oh, I can explain to you why I want it. A, B, C, D. I was explained to me why this is really good. And now they understand. Now I want it. So it's a ratzon that came after understanding, after intellectuality. This was the sum total. After all that, here's what I want, and that's why I want it. That's a ratzon atachna. It's a lower ratzon. It was preceded by the ideas, by the concepts, by the understanding, and so on and so forth. Noila, that was birthed by the seichel. Then there's Ratzon Ha'elyon. Then there's the higher Ratzon. That's the Ratzon Shalemayla Me'aseichel, where a person wants something and he doesn't even know why. He can't explain why he wants this. It's just, this is what I want. This is what's called also sometimes in Chassidus Ratzon Atzmi. It's an essential Ratzon. It's not a, it can't be compartmentalized, rationalized, explained. It is what it is. This is then the difference between the gateways and the pathways. Nun share bina, the 50 gateways in yonem is hamshachas hamaychin b'mideis, is to draw the intellectual into the emotional, to experience it. And that's hamshachas ratzana tachna, means to create, if you take a higher reality, an intellectual reality, bring it into an emotional reality, what are you creating ultimately? Desire. I want this. I'm emotionally attached to it. I'm excited about it. Get it for me. So this is the ratzana tachna, which is no idea seichel. But Lamed Beis Nesivus Chochma represent the 32 pathways is a hamshacha of Ratzino Elyon. That is about linking to and attaching yourself to your essence, to your subconsciousness, to the Ratzin which comes before Seichel, which the hamshacha it's so to speak expressed through Chochma, which is a grasp, a flash, a moment. I want that. All of a sudden it hits me. I want that. Why do you want it? When do you want it? How do you want it? I don't know. I want that. And so the Ratzon expresses itself, it diffuses itself through Chachma. And the Me'ah Chachma nimshech l'bina. And this, my dear friends, is the meaning Zeh Oneid HaBasharim Baila. These are the gateways, these are the pathways through which a Yid is able to know God. And just as we're able to know ourselves, if you will, and this is how we function internally, this is how God functions with us. Through the Esser Sfireis. That is what's called Lamed Beis Zamshachas Ratzon HaElyon. There's God's will, and how God's will come to us through those 32 pathways. And then there's how we're able to experience God's will, and that comes through the 50 gates. I'm going to skip the next paragraph because it basically takes this idea and puts it into the Pesukim of the Haftorah and shows it how you find it in Haftorah. But I want to quickly conclude. I know we're running out of time. We ran out of time already. But bring this down. So this is the meaning of where we started with judges and sheriffs. So now you know what sharech are. See, in the beginning, we started off tzmaim sharecha. That's neidah b'sharim baila. Oh, really? That's great. I don't know what they're talking about. So what does that mean? So it's like sharecha, you know, like alphabet soup. To take a word here and a word there, and then one in the same. What's the one will do the other? And now we learned about the pathways and the gateways. Now we'll go back. So what is the Torah commanding us? If that's what sharecha are, what is the commandment of the Torah? The commandment of the Torah is like this. Insofar as our Aveda, our efforts in trying to come closer to Hashem is concerned, is kiyidua shekol sha'arecha, all of your gates, koyal sha'arim shebegof adam. It refers to the gates within the human being's corporeal reality. As it says in Sefer Yetzirah, that the body has zayin sha'arim. There are seven gateways in the body. What in the second gateways correspond to seven Hebrew letters which are called beged kaparas. What's beged kaparas? The letter beis is beis and veis, soft and hard. The letter gimel, and we don't do this, but the Taimani Jews still have this right, is gimel and jimel, j. The real j is a jimel. And then there's dalad. Dalad could be a pronounced dalad, the d, or it could be just a soft dalad. And this is the idea of having a hard dalad. We have a kuf and chaf. We have pei and fei. We have resh and resh. Roll your resh. There's a darad resh, although there's a whole discussion of what the resh means altogether, and there's some authorities who want to suggest it's talking Greek, whatever. And then there's tuf and suf, or as the Taimani Jews say, thaf. So this is called, so these are the beis inayim, there's 2 ears. Okay, we got two. Beis nechiri af, we got 2 nostrils and a nose. We have the peh, now we got 5. And Bezos 9, we have 2 ears, 2 nostrils, 2 eyes, and a mouth. It gives us some total of 7. V'nikir b'shem sha'arim. Why are they called sha'arim? What does it have to do with the letters of beged kaparas? So first of all, I don't know. But I think it has to do like this. I think that the hard and soft sound represents the idea of going in and going out. Going out is aggressive. Going in is like taking something in softer. I think that's what it means. So the point here is that it's through these gates that miskashra adam v'mashir m'chutzimenu. There's things we give off and things we take in. We connect to the outer world and we ingest from the outer world. And this is, you know, this is the story of our human experiences. Mekabel al yadam, through these gates we receive. Behein aydeiz emaitzei adam, a person also gives off. V'kivan shebesharim elu. Since these gateways are gateways, and gateways are, well, gateways. All kinds of things can come out. All kinds of things can come in. They're gateways. Lahazi, after Teres, the word, Lesesura, Acher, Levavchem, Vacher, Nechem. Do not follow your heart, your desire. Do not follow what your eyes see. About this, exactly, it says, Shaftim, Veshaytim, Titan, Levachol, Sharecha. You must place judges and sheriffs. Al Kol HaShad and Sheba Adam, that all gates of a person, Sarech Lahamid, Shaftim, Veshaytim. What is the Shaftim and the Shaytir? It's Piskidin Ateira. Every situation I come in contact with, I have to say, what does the Shulchan Aruch say? Is this kosher or not? Good or not? In every situation. I have to analyze and I have to evaluate every situation and say, am I going to connect? Am I going to experience this or not? Am I going to get into this or not? And do I want to communicate or I want to ignore this? There's something, this is the point, the person, a person has to work on this, and it's not only understanding. Piski HaTayr is the Shaftim, and then there's the sheriffs. What's the sheriffs? The Gemara says, La'ilam Yagaz Adam Yetzatayva Yetzahara. A person should enrage his Yetzatayva against his Yetzahara. That Yetzahara, that chutzpah that he has, how dare he? And you enrage, that's making a sheriff, creating a police force. That it's not enough to have just the understanding, but you also have to have the Kabbalah's oil. It's not enough to know what's right. You have to be also submit yourself to doing what's right, to knowing what's right and following through with what's right. And this is the gates and the gateways and the pathways that have to be guarded and have to be carefully watched over if we are going to have a proper experience in our Avodas Hashem. And unfortunately, we're so way out of time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should help us, that we should guard our gates and our pathways, we should use them well, and we should be zeicha as a result of Mirza Hashem to return to the gates of Yerushalayim HaBnuya, the gates of the Beis HaMikdash. B'mehera b'meinu amen. Good Shabbos to all of our listeners. Thank you everybody for joining us, learning Torah all week. And may we continue to go mechayel el chayel. Shabbos.